Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And we have got Chuck Springer on the show today, retired LAPD commander, retired as a lieutenant. He left California, believe it or not. He's over in my neck of the woods. He's in Florida, just south of me. So thanks for being on the show, Chuck. Appreciate it. A shout out to our sponsors, our title sponsor, Gauls.com. Comply Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them. We've been on satellite radio since Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th. Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And yes, we're streaming to approximately 1.5 million people right now. And also Two Bells, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Check out our new store, all the gear that we have. The prices are pristine. We don't charge anything. We don't make a dime off of anything on the store. I pay the exact same thing you guys pay. And go to LeoRoundtable.com and check out that new store that Two Bells built for us. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFB.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. And we've got quite a few stories coming up here. And Chuck, if you want to take any of the videos out of order, because I put down six, you know, and that's why I did that, let me know. But just touching on the first few things we're going to cover, we got a New Mexico sheriff's deputy jovially hurls a baby rabbit to its death as the supervisors laugh. That's got me torqued. So we're going to be covering that one first. And then we've got some stories with video components, and we're going to start up with an LAPD story. Chuck's on the program, so he'll be able to explain this. This is a pretty fascinating one. LAPD officers, they shoot at an armed man who was wearing a dress when he robbed a Winchell donut shop. So that was interesting. Then we got Colorado Springs police release a video of a fatal shooting at an apartment complex of an armed suspect. Then we got a New York judge blocking NYPD from firing 30-plus new cops for offenses. It's amazing. Amazing. These are not the guys that I'd want working in my agency. Greenville sheriff's released body cam of a deadly shooting involving a suspect that's armed with a hatchet. And then we got Orlando PD in Florida, body cam video of an arrest that went viral. We got a couple other ones, but I don't know that we're going to have time to get to them unless you want to take some stuff out of order, Chuck. So just let me know. So if it's okay with you, let's do the squirrel story first. We were not able to get to it yesterday. It's at reason.com. Watch a New York, Mexico sheriff's deputy jovially hurl a baby rabbit to its death as his supervisors laugh. Now, look, it's, yeah, this kind of torqued me. A recently revealed cell phone video shows a Grant County sheriff's deputy, Alejandro Gomez. He is demanding that another deputy named Marcus Salas let him hold a baby rabbit that Salas had found in the middle of a dirt road on a night shift in, I guess it's called Hachita now, and this is in New Mexico. And this was last August. And also there was Sergeant Brandon Reese and a Corporal Cesar Torres. Now, Gomez, this is Deputy Alejandro Gomez. He's persistent. At one point, he threatens Salas, the guy with the baby rabbit, with a taser. Salas does not want to hand over the rabbit because he's worried that Gomez will kill it, which is precisely what Gomez does by hurling it against a patrol car after Salas trying to de-escalate the situation. He finally gives in under pressure from Reese and Torres, as well as Gomez. So all three of those guys are trying to talk him into doing it, put pressure on him. The two supervisors are heard laughing hard in the video. Evidently, they thought the whole thing was hilarious. Now, it talks about this incident as part of a criminal complaint against Gomez, and I have no sympathy for the sucker. That includes one charge of extreme cruelty to animals and four charges of aggravated assault on a police officer. And I'm sure that's where the taser threat of using the taser on the other officer comes in. Salas, who says he was repeatedly harassed by Gomez, including incidents in which Gomez drew his taser and his gun. Now, New Mexico State Police Agent Justin Blacklock, who investigated Salas' complaints after there was an internal review that went nowhere. He filed the charges on February the 14th. Happy Valentine's Day, by the way. And like the video, Blacklock says that Reese recorded the charges came to light only recently. So, wow. You know, this thing was going to come to light, and finally someone looked into it. And we're covering it, Chuck, because you know as well as I do that no one hates bad cops more than good cops. They make us all look bad. But there is, you know, there is a component to police work. We get kind of cold and callous to some things. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. In order to do this job, you're going to have people die in front of you, die in your arms. You may even be the result of someone dying. Ultimately, it's probably caused by them, but you may be the guy that has to pull the trigger. But life is a very precious commodity. It's such a precious thing. And when you don't have the respect for life and it just becomes fun, even if it's an animal or human, there's no room for that in this business, in this profession. And this just really rubbed me the wrong way. I have no sympathy for this guy. I'm curious what your feelings are on this Chuck Springer.
Well, I pretty much agree with you. You know, we talk about gallows humor and how it's very specific to the first responder community, and not that this necessarily falls under the umbrella of gallows humor per se, but what we've discussed in the past with gallows humor is you got to know your audience. And in this case, and in many cases, if you're on tape, your audience is now the entire world. So you have behaved inappropriately, especially in this case. Yeah, you know, number one, I wonder if he has a hunting license. Maybe New Mexico Fish and Wildlife might want to go after him for taking a rabbit without a hunting license. And that's just kind of a little humorous offshoot to this. But yeah, this is inappropriate. Yeah, number two, there's other aspects to this that are concerning, where this guy points his gun at the deputy on perhaps two occasions. You know, whether it happens or not, it's alleged to have happened. And if it did, you know, we arrest people for doing that, right? And number two, it's a violation of one of the basic tenets, the first tenet of firearm safety, is you don't allow the muzzle to cover anything you're not willing to shoot. So yeah, this is bad optics all around, and I'm probably not surprised that that guy's being charged with animal cruelty. You know, ironically, I conducted an investigation not too dissimilar from this for one of my folks. It didn't involve the officer actually killing the animal, but it involved animal neglect for a pot-bellied pig, and he took a few days suspension for it.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Was it his pig?
It was his pig. He had purchased it from a gal who is obviously a pig lover, and he made the mistake of returning it to her in bad condition. And of course she freaked out and dropped the dime on him, and you know, the rest is history, as they say. The investigation unfolded, and you know, he took a couple days suspension for that. So yeah, you know, reverence for life, you know, specifically does apply to humans in our profession, but it extends as well to, you know, and I'm a hunter. You know, I don't just randomly go out and kill stuff for the fun of it. You know, there's an ethical and a legal approach to taking game. I don't think this was one of them.
Yeah. Good point. Anyhow, so no sympathy for this guy, but it makes us look bad when you have guys doing stuff like this. It just, oh gosh, how do we, you know, it just makes me wonder their hiring pool. But speaking of that, we have another story coming up from New York that's going to make you scratch your head too. So if you're ready, the story, to cover the LAPD story, the story with the video component, are you sure you're ready to defend your people?
Yeah, let's do that. And then if you can, make sure you get the Greenville Sheriff's Office video on the show today.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind commenting on that one as well.
Video three. Okay. We'll do that. We'll do that one, the second video then. All right. Excellent. So we got 3 minutes before our first commercial break. We're going to jump over to LAPD. But first, let me credit the source of the story, rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. This Is Butter gets the videos before anybody else does. It's incredible. I don't know how he does it. And if you're watching our show and you want to see the videos that we're talking about, if you're listening audibly, your favorite radio show or radio station and podcast, stay loyal to those outlets that are bringing you this good quality content, because in return, we'll describe in great detail what's going on so you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if you just simply got to see that video, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, and producer Will uploads a special version of this live show. And when he grabs it and copies it, he'll embed videos that we talk about. As we talk about them, we'll put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we talk about them. And that goes on a Rumble channel 9 o'clock the next day. That happens Tuesday through Saturday, and that is Eastern time. A great way to watch the show. You have great options there. So LAPD officers, they shoot at an armed man who wore a dress when he robbed a Winchell donut shop. So we'll just call this man, and Chuck and I got earlier together, we'll just call this dude in the dress Mr. Wininger, all right? So Harvard Heights, I'm sure that Jeff Wininger, our panelist from LAPD, I'm sure he'll appreciate that. So anyhow, Harvard Heights, California, New Mexico shows a wild Winchell donut shop robbery that led to a police shooting. At one point, the video shows the scantily clad suspect, Mrs. Wininger, throwing a tray of cinnamon rolls. Now, the Los Angeles Police Department, they released their officer body-worn camera in addition to the crazy surveillance video from inside that store. So the video shows a suspect, 41-year-old Christopher Hall, scantily dressed as he walks up to the counter and back in May, threatening workers with a gun and a knife. This dude is scantily clad. They're not stretching that at all. Not like the G-string the dude was stretching in the video. Moments later, workers are assaulted with that gun and a pan of cinnamon rolls before they toss a bundle of cash at Hall, making it hard for him to pick it up. At that point, they start to fight back. They hit him with the cart. Someone throws a chair at Hall as he takes off down the street. Now, this is the armed robbery portion of this.
Hey, he's right here. Drop the gun. Okay, I see him. Roger, I got the suspect right here. Let me check the building. He's wearing a green shirt, black pants. Get over here. Hey, get out of there. Hey, get over here. Get over here. You're going to get shot. Hey, Roger, I got suspect right. Let me show your hands. Hey. It's coming towards you. Hey, get on the ground, dude. Hey. Get down, get down. Officer needs help, shot fired. Get down. Officer needs help. Put it down, get down. Get down.
Come here. He doesn't have anything in his hand.
Let me see. Get down. Get down. Don't move. Don't move. Don't move. You're going to get tased again. Don't move. You're going to get tased again. Do not move.
Get your... Police find Hall, our bad guy, at a nearby apartment complex where they order him to drop the weapons or chase him down a narrow pathway. It's kind of like between a chain link fence and like the brick wall to a building. Instead, he ends up turning around and pointing a gun at one of the officers. And that's when the officer, they say, open fires. I didn't hear a lot of shots being fired, but Hall was not hit, or bad guy was not hit by the gunfire. The video shows him tossing what appears to be a gun on the ground. It says he climbed a fence, but I thought that he bent down to pick up that gun. I thought that's what the body cam showed. That's what I have in my notes. But guys, we're coming up on our first commercial break. So look, stick with us. I will finish the story and we're going to talk about it. You're not going to want to miss this. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as police officers, we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources. And when you throw the online mix into it, we have even more choices, right? But I want to remind everybody that's watching the show about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. Now, they not only do that, but they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor and go to Gauls at Gauls.com. And guys, you know, they've got gift cards. In fact, we give away two every week on the show. I think we're going to give away one today, Chuck. So if you have family, friends, and loved ones that or interested in a Gauls gift card, go to Gauls.com, hook them up with a new Gauls gift card. They will be your new best friends. And our panelist, Captain Brett Bartlett, pretty much says they pretty much have everything but guns and ammo. So if you haven't checked out Gauls lately, please go to Gauls.com and check them out today. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Lieutenant Chuck Springer, retired LAPD commander. So we left off talking about a pretty interesting story, and it was from LAPD, so the title is LAPD officer shoot at an armed man who is wearing a dress when he robbed a Winchell donut shop. So I know that we're thinking, donut shop, probably cops there. That's where the shooting happened. Nah, not exactly. It happened after he fled. But it goes on to say that it says that our bad guy's being chased by the cops that finally locate him. You know, people, I mean, this dude is, he's going slow and methodical, and people are like, you know, they've got air service up. They're telling the cop he went that way. He's around that corner. And so cops catch up with him. He turns around and he points a gun at the cops. The cop first in line ends up shooting at him. Guy drops a gun. I thought he picked it up, but he ends up jumping a fence to get away. And then he's got the cavalry waiting for him when he hits the street. He comes out of this little narrow little, almost like a little little alleyway almost. And so they end up using a taser on him. He does not have a gun in his hand anymore. I got to admit to that. They end up tasing him and he goes down and they recover a he just says he has the airsoft replica handgun. They recover that wherever that ended up being at. And he actually had a knife during the arrest. And he ended up being charged with robbery and assault with a deadly weapon. So that's the way that went down. Pretty interesting video. It's hard to get past the clothing that the dude's wearing, Chuck. But defend your peeps, Chuck. Defend your peeps.
Well, before I defend my peeps, let's talk about the suspect. First mistake, he robs a donut store.
Okay.
Probably response time in within 30 seconds, right? Disclaimer, though, I wasn't a big donut eater. Number two, as you mentioned, this guy might as well, the way he's dressed, he might as well have a big neon sign on his head that says, "Here I am." I mean, it gets pretty distinct in terms of suspect descriptors right then and there. And you know what's interesting is how the employees at this store react, because a lot of these corporations have very strict policies on what their employees shall not do when they're being robbed. And one of them is fight back. So I'm wondering whether there's some kind of repercussion coming against these employees from, you know, Winchell Corporation or whoever owns this. But that's just a comment, you know, an aside comment. You know, they end up throwing money at this guy. He looks like he probably leaves without a lot of it. It's mostly on the floor. But, you know, the cops show up. There's an airship overhead that has eyes on him. I don't have a lot of critique. What happens at that point where I get a little uncomfortable is these two officers walking down the side of this apartment building. Between the apartment building and the fence is a very narrow area with absolutely no cover in it. You've got the airship overhead. They can watch this suspect for you. I would prefer that they not follow this guy down that little alleyway. Again, it's not an out of policy situation. It's a tactical debrief incident. They don't know it's an airsoft. I'm guessing that the employees at some point figured out it might not be a real gun and that's why they fought back. But, you know, that's speculation itself. The OAS happens because the suspect points the gun at the officer, and that's a valid response for the officer at that point. He loses the gun. He comes out. You can hear the officers verbalizing that there's nothing in his hand, which I think is good, right? We have a reverence for life, and we escalate and de-escalate as necessary. They tase him, and they take him into custody. Overall, I mean, I think pretty good job. Just a couple issues there where I would prefer a different tactical aspect to, you know, how things happen. And what I did notice at the very end, and we're coming back to the suspect, I'd like to recognize his choice of underwear.
can you do a visual for
that's something that Jeff Weninger would wear, definitely.
Okay. It's everything fits. Yeah, you know, I was watching during the robbery where he's having the fight with some of the employees and they're throwing stuff at him. I have to admit, it became apparent. Look, you're never 100% sure, right? But the way he was holding the gun, he pointed it every once in a while, but he didn't. He wasn't, you know, he was taking incoming heat and fire, not using the gun. So it made me suspect that this is not a real gun, or else the guy would be using it to protect himself. I was surprised that when they were hitting him with some of the stuff and he was off balance and he was dropping his hand with the gun, and I'm surprised they didn't, you know, there were two of them. I'm surprised they didn't make the move, you know, to wrestle with them, but I can't fault them because, you know, it could have been real and they could have got hurt. So,
yeah.
But it was pretty comical to watch. So, all right. Excellent.
Just another day in LA, you know?
Well, yeah. Excellent.
And pretty much anywhere else in the country. I mean, there's clown ops all over the place.
Excellent point. Well, look, I'm ready to go to Greenville if you are, Chuck. So rumble.com, the channel again is called This Is Butter. And we've got roughly a minute and a half before we take our second commercial break. Greenville Sheriff's Office, they released body cam of a deadly shooting involving a suspect that's armed with a hatchet.
Put your hands up!
Put your hands up!
Don't fucking towards us!
Don't fucking towards us!
So the Greenville County Sheriff's Office, there's new details involving this shooting that happened last May. So in a video, the Sheriff's Office representative said that law enforcement, they get an anonymous tip about a guy that's wanted for murder. He's also wanted for kidnapping. He's also wanted for escaping out of a Spartanburg County. And he's riding his bike down Highway 14 in a place called Greer. And that was on May 29th. And it was the middle of the afternoon, 12:11 p.m. So deputies arrive around 12:20. So that's a 9-minute response time. They start searching the woods. They got a canine, and then they find our 51-year-old bad guy, Johnny Andrew Collins, and he's barricaded in some brush in a wooded area, you know, in the woods. They attempt to get him to come out with his hands up. He insists on someone giving him a cigarette before he comes out. And that's where this stuff starts to go back and forth. So, they're negotiating and getting a medic to get cigarettes over the radio and all this stuff, just trying to comply with the guy's demands. And then they see he's holding the hatchet, and that kind of changes the whole scenario. So we're going to go to our second commercial break, and we're going to come back and discuss this, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders, and their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves. They offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they actually eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And, yeah, we're not done. They continue the cure for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. And you're going to learn more about how to protect your, how to equip your team today by simply going to compliantechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that's compliantechnologies.com/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Now we're going to talk about Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up on July the 16th, they've got Cat Out of the Bag Searches. Sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. Bluethegold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. You know, Chuck and I were having a good conversation that I want to continue on. We're talking about the skydiving and stuff, because I just remembered something that I just did for the first time. But we left off talking about a story, and I believe it was video number 3. And let me just go ahead and get back to the title of this thing. Chuck wanted to cover this. Greenville Sheriff's Office released body cam of a deadly shooting involving a suspect armed with a hatchet. This guy was wanted for a bunch of stuff, kidnapping, murder, escape. And so they end up finding this guy in the woods, hiding with the help of a canine. You got to love our canines. And Johnny Andrew Collins, that's the name of the bad guy. He's 51 years old. And he's telling the cops there, before I come out, I just want a cigarette. So they're trying to arrange that. Then all of a sudden they see he's got like a hatchet in his hand. And he says, give me a cigarette. And they're saying, drop the hatchet. We'll give you the cigarette when you drop the hatchet. And then he says, no. And they say, we'll give you my word. And then he uses an expletive, and, you know, expletive, your word, you know, is what he says. And so deputies start telling him to put his hands up, stop walking towards him, because now he's advancing on them, and he's got that stupid hatchet in his hand. So body cam shows our bad guy Collins, after asking deputies to shoot him earlier in the standoff, he's walking towards him, he's raising the hatchet, and then they let loose with multiple gunshots. He falls, he drops the hatchet, he ends up dying on the scene. And the only ones who actually had a cigarette and smoked were the deputies after the shooting. I made that last part up, Chuck. All right. No one smoked. Someone got smoked, but no one smoked, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Come on, Chuck, you got to smile and laugh. This is some of my best material, dude. This is like, this, it doesn't get better than this, for at least for me. You know, this is it, dude. So.
Well, we're going to have to get you some comedy lessons then.
Love it. All right. So what's your breakdown of this shooting, Chuck?
Well, the reason I want to talk about it is I think overall these guys do an outstanding job, you know, especially with a lot of the things that we've spoken about in the past with communication, getting cover. You know, and also that I think the citizen does a great job here. You know, one, he recognizes the suspect and he gives a pretty decent description to the dispatcher. And then the guys get on scene. Doesn't look like they rush in there to look for him. They get a canine involved. So they're doing a methodical, you know, search through the woods. The canine apparently alerts on the suspect. They don't over penetrate. They seek cover as best as they can from what it appears like. And then you've got one officer doing all the communicating. And at some point I hear a few other officers starting to offer commands. And it's done in such a way that it's not as confusing as you've seen in other videos with numerous people screaming. But within short order, it sounds like the canine officer says, okay, hold on, guys. You know, one person talk, assigns one person to do the communication. I think they're doing a pretty good job trying to talk to this guy. The one thing I would kind of note as a ancillary issue here is when it comes to cigarettes, you know, traditionally offering a cigarette to somebody is kind of their last step before they take the plunge. Right.
Good point.
But if it keeps the conversation going, you know, they don't actually give them a cigarette. Right. I just something that I noted on there. And then, you know, the guy comes out. I don't know if they knew he had a hatchet originally or if the first time they notice is when he comes out. I don't recall from the video. But, you know, he starts moving towards him and then he raises the hatchet. You don't know if he's about to charge. You don't know if he's about to throw it at them. And I think by and large, without, you know, seeing the totality of the investigation and hearing what the individual's officers have to say, I think that meets the threshold of lethal force.
You know, and I'm so glad that they didn't send the canine in after the bad guy holding the hatchet. You know what I'm saying? I mean, some agencies that would do that.
An edged weapon is probably more dangerous than a firearm for a dog because you're gonna deploy it when the dog's right on you. Yeah. So, you know, the chances with a firearm of missing, I think, are much greater than with an edged weapon. The dog's probably going to take multiple strikes with an edged weapon. So, yeah, good point. Didn't think about that.
Yeah. So, good coverage, and a good story. So if you're ready, Chuck, let's go to the next update story in New York, if that's okay with you. It's at pix11.com. We have a New York judge blocking NYPD from firing over 30 new cops for what they're saying offenses. Listen to this. So, and Chuck, this is up in your neck of the woods because you used to investigate some of the stuff up there, LAPD. After telling more than 30 of its newest officers and recruits that they've been dismissed, the NYPD has now been forced to reverse that order, at least temporarily. So a New York Supreme Court judge, so we're talking Supreme Court level here, made that decision late on Thursday afternoon after the Officers Union, which is the PBA, the Police Benevolent Association, they petitioned for the NYPD order to be blocked. Police department said that it demanded the officers' resignations because they had what are called disqualifying offenses on their records, which makes hiring them a violation of the law. So when you hear that, you think, well, crap, if that's true, then how can they get hired, right? But there's a backstory. And of course, how did we get here? Well, there's a great story for this. We've covered it previously on the show. The NYPD issued a statement on Thursday about the situation. Here's what they said. Following an internal investigation, the NYPD recently identified officers who joined the department in the past 2 years, despite receiving final notices of disqualification during the application process, which is a violation of the law. The department was not legally allowed to hire the individuals, and they were forced to inform them that they could no longer continue as members of NYPD. But somebody, as you guys suspect, dropped the ball. Police sources tell PIX 11 News that the officers facing dismissal, they have a variety of infractions against them, including misrepresenting past criminal convictions, previous arrest, not disclosing terminations from previous jobs, driver's license suspensions, and other offenses. So, wow. So the PBA said that the situation is different than what the police department is depicting, which is why the judge's order block the dismissals is warranted. Now, here's what the PBA says, and it's the president, Patrick Henry. We're grateful for the pause in these unjust firings, but this is only the first step. These police officers did nothing wrong. It is not their fault that their hiring was tainted by a rogue inspector and arbitrary process. In many cases, they were initially disqualified for minor issues and may have been hired on appeal if given the opportunity to do so. Many of these police officers have served with distinction. Some have even received awards for their work protecting their communities. We're asking for is a fair process that they were denied so that they can continue to show that they who they truly are. These dedicated officers have already proven their value. They must be treated like professionals they are. Now, it goes on to say, the officers who have been told to resign or be fired, they were part of a larger group of about 80 recently added cops or recruits who did not pass their psychological evals. Ah, now we're getting somewhere. And we covered this on the show. In what had been considered an innovative move at the time, and this is the guy that dropped the ball, NYPD Inspector Terrell Anderson, he overrode the officer's psychological evaluation results over the past 5 years, according to police sources. And so the same guy, Inspector Terrell, he ended up being transferred earlier this year to the Housing Bureau, and the overrides are now under review by the department. The dismissal is a part of that review process. So it said that these guys were hired, I thought it said just over the last 2 years, but this dude with NYPD was overriding psych evals that turned out bad for 5 years. And, you know, these are the guys that they've been hiring. This is like a 35,000 man agency. And so now you have this conundrum, and you've got the union taken up for the guys that are the 30 guys that were supposed to have been fired. I mean, just wow. We got 2 minutes before a third commercial break, Chuck, but does this sound like a nightmare that you'd want to be involved in? Crap.
No. And, you know, there's several points here. Yeah. Do you want some of these officers, you know, working in your city with a badge and a gun? Now, you got to take the article with a grain of salt because it doesn't really give us a lot of information. It says some of these people, right, might have had prior arrest. You know, what does that mean? Two of them, one of them, are most of these people that pass their background except for the psych? But regardless, what I question is how does one inspector in the police department, how is he given the power to override the hiring process that, in my opinion, should be spearheaded by the city's personnel department, not the police department per se. Now, the police department has a say. They may be involved in background checks and stuff like that, but it seems that the city's personnel department should be the driving force with hiring, you know, police officers, firefighters, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I question why this one individual had that power and why a process in a city like New York allowed that to exist in the first place. 50 years ago, I get it, but not today. And then the nexus is on the city. They hired them. I don't think you can go and arbitrarily just fire them. There's got to be some procedural bill of rights in the state of New York, like there are in many other states across the country. You know, if they're not worthy of being police officers, well, you know, you're probably going to have to pay them some kind of damages right? If you want to fire them because you hired them. Knowing, they weren't hiding anything.
We got to go to the commercial break. Guys, we'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, as police officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, certified, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, forensic organizations, police departments, and federal agencies nationwide. Now, listen to this. The founder, Dan O'Kelly, has come up with a great way. If you have your own agency, at hosting a seminar for absolutely no cost. Simply go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. I am Chip DeBlock, your host, joined by Lieutenant Chuck Springer, retired commander from LAPD. We just did the giveaway. FLG Man on the stream won the free $50 Golders gift card giveaway. Congratulations, FLG Man. And Chuck and I, we just talked about a story where NYPD was prevented from firing over 30 guys, and Chuck brought up some good issues involving that. And we were talking about, you know, jumping out of planes, and I was talking about going to this place called iFly. They've got them all over the country, Chuck. And depending on what your body weight is, they increase the flow rate from the ground, from the fan on the ground blowing up. And it's pretty fascinating. And these guys. Or look like Superman. They'll like shoot up and out of sight. You've got like this glass, plexiglass like cylinder that you're able to watch the guys inside. It's huge inside, but they'll go up and you're like, man, where do they go? And you can't even see them. And then they'll like shoot back down. They'll stop just before they get to the bottom. The bottom is like netting. So they're not, even if they kind of crashed, it wouldn't be like a hard concrete surface because they got a fan underneath it. It's pretty impressive. So I don't know if that strikes your fancy, if you would like to do anything like that or not, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that would be neat. I mean, it sounds like that's really a good training tool for people that are, you know, want to do free fall skydiving. I've jumped out of a plane 4 times.
Wow.
Three were static line, and then I did what they call a tandem
free fall.
So you're attached to, you know, an experienced skydiver from 10,000 feet. And that was fun. You know, I don't see any need for me to do it again. I kind of checked that off the bucket list. What I haven't done is bungee jump. And I don't know if that's as popular as it used to be. You don't really see a lot of it anymore. It's not covered like it used to be, but I'm sure they're still doing it. Now, if you're afraid of heights, that's probably a no-go for you because you're going to experience that relative falling motion because you're so close to the surface of the earth. But, you know.
So my only question is that does, you know, with gravity, when you're excreting bodily fluid, do they end up catching up with you or do they fall at the same rate as you when you get down to the bottom? That's just what I want to like.
Depends on what the coefficient of friction is for the bodily fluids versus yourself. But hey, just wear a man diaper, Chip.
Hey, you know, why didn't I think of that? I can borrow one from Randy Sutton. How's that?
Yeah, go to do the glove demonstration, make sure
I may need one for that. I may need one for that. I may need one for that. All right. Moving along. We've got video. Well, we got the video in Colorado where police, the fatal suspect shooting at the apartment complex. It's an armed dude. So it's Colorado. We got Orlando police. And it's an arrest that went viral on the 4th of July. That's the guy with the gun that runs up to the doorway. And the cops finally, they tase him twice, but then he gives up when they say they're going to shoot him. And then we got Antioch police, a guy charging police with a knife. And then we got BCSO. That's in Texas, a Bexar County Sheriff's Office. Body cam of a deputy shooting a suspect multiple times after at the end of a chase. So what are you feeling like, Chuck?
Well, let's talk about the one at the end of the chase.
Okay, that'll be video 6 then, and I love it. So rumble.com, this is Butters the Channel. So BCSO, Bexar County Sheriff's Office in Texas, released body cam footage of a deputy shooting a suspect multiple times amid a chase.
Shots fired.
And so they've released this footage of a deputy shooting a suspect multiple times. It's a stolen vehicle chase, actually. So it happened about 8:30 in the evening on June the 21st, and it was around Southeast Bexar County. And the deputy is Angel Ornelas. He attempts a traffic stop on a suspected stolen vehicle, and he later ended up shooting the bad guy, Joshua Ryan Garcia, who was only 34 years old, and he shot the bad guy at least 3 times. Now, the traffic stop was initiated after Deputy Ornelas automatically, he had a license plate reader, and these things are fantastic. They're automatically reading tags, giving alerts, and so he gets alerted. There's a signal 10, a stolen vehicle. Garcia leads, or bad guy leads Deputy Ornelas on a pursuit, and after he fails to stop his vehicle, There's multiple stop signs he's blowing through. He's nearly crashing the car. And then Garcia, a bad guy, drives down a residential dirt road and he comes to a dead end. Don't you love it when that happens? You know, you're driving and the dude's in a cul-de-sac or a dead end. And now he's thinking, oh, crap, what do I do? So according to the agency, Garcia performs a U-turn in an attempt to evade Deputy Ornelius, who is stopped behind him at the other end of the dead end, right? So our deputy gets out of his patrol car and he walks to the rear to the passenger side of the patrol car. And he sees the bad guy ahead of him at the dead end doing a U-turn, getting ready to come back. So bad guy starts coming back. Getting ready to drive by the marked unit on the passenger side of the marked unit, which is now where the deputy's standing. So the sheriff's office said the deputy fires gunshots, striking Garcia and his vehicle. Garcia ultimately crashes into a tree, and there's a passenger, by the way. According to the agency, Deputy Ornelius demanded that the bad guy and the female passenger exit. So afterward, Garcia is taken into custody, and he ends up being transported to a local hospital for additional treatment. Doesn't say what that's for, but he was shot. And the female passenger suffered minor injuries. Now, I'm going to jump to my notes here. Stolen vehicle at 2:33 seconds. This deputy, he's standing on the rear of the cruiser on the passenger side, and he unloads his gun on this vehicle that's driving by on the passenger side, and then the driver crashes and all this stuff. How the female passenger, which was on the side of the car the cops unloading on, wasn't hit, I have no idea. But at the end, I have a little note saying, can you say officer created jeopardy with a question mark? So what do you think, Chuck?
Well, a couple things. And the first one is just a kind of little bit of a legalese. I'm not familiar with Texas vehicle code, but I don't think this guy actually legally ever goes into pursuit. Maybe at the very end, I hear him sound a siren, but in California to go in pursuit, you have to be displaying a forward facing red light and be sounding a siren. You're not in pursuit if you're not. All right, so I only mention that because there's a legal component that may come into play somewhere down the line.
Good point.
So number two, he never really makes it, from what I can tell, to the passenger side of the police car. He's at the rear of the police car, maybe closer to the passenger side, and then this guy comes screaming by. I don't, you know, to be honest with you, if and this is just going off the video, you know, we haven't read the investigation. I haven't heard his side of his version of the events. But if this were LAPD, it would probably be an out of policy shooting. And he's fortunate that he didn't hit the female passenger, because he'd probably be looking at a considerable lawsuit if he had. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, it's the optics weren't good. I was trying to. Of course, for civilians watching the show, you know, you look, a lot of agencies ban roadblocks. So you've got a guy that you're chasing a guy and he hits a dead end. You make a decision. You either continue with the chase and do the U-turn with him, or in this case, the cop stops his car. But then he gets out. And what is the purpose of getting out of the car? You're leaving and then you're walking to the passenger side, which is the same side this guy's driving to, and you're at the rear of the car. So there's no, you're protected by your patrol car that's in front of you. So there's no risk to you. And then when he's firing on the car, I think, you know, and I didn't put in my notes at what point, but it seemed he was firing a shot certainly after the car had passed him and there was absolutely no threat. Now, I know that you can argue that by the time your brain tells your trigger finger to stop pulling the trigger, there was a delay there. And I get that. Perception can be different, you know, when you're in the field, but the optics were horrible. There was a lot of this that did not look like a good shoot and looked like a libelous shooting. And I'm so thankful that the female did not get shot. But if I was the investigator on this, there would be some serious explaining to do.
Yeah. And again, like we talked about, we don't know specifically what that agency's policy is with respect to shooting at moving vehicles. We've talked about this in past shows, but I think it's become somewhat standardized across the country to a degree, but that doesn't mean that everybody's doing it, but you still have to articulate why that is a lethal threat.
But we know what the courts now for a few years have been ruling on officer created jeopardy. You know, when you create a situation where you're using lethal force, but it wasn't even if he would have stepped in front of the vehicle, that would have been an officer created jeopardy situation, but he didn't do that.
Right.
He just let the car drive by him. So it was even, in my opinion, the optics looked even worse. I'm just glad I'm not the union rep trying to represent this guy to tell him what to say to get out of it, because you'd have your work cut out for you.
Right. Yeah. But like we said, nobody died. He did hit the other one, and thankfully he didn't hit the female passenger. So
agreed. Well, Chuck Springer, another great show. Thank you so much for being on the show. I do want to mention the Window Blue at thewindowblue.org. A shout out to our sponsors, Gulls.com, our title sponsor, Compliant Technology, satellite sponsor, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, Medicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, and Two Bells. Thanks for watching, guys. We'll look for you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern, LeoRoundtable.com.